Hello, friends, and welcome to the second hour of Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting live today from the studios of KKNW here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle on the west coast of the United States on 11:50 a.m. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better, happier place. And I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a much, much, much better place. I want to read quickly before we go on to my guests, the message that I got from President Kennedy and also Nikolai Tesla. Gone now. But moment here. My fellow Americans, fear not, because as Winston Churchill said during World War II, we only have fear here and fear itself, fear, but we only have fear itself to fear, which is nothing. I'm with you on the other side, and I've never stopped being your president since I was assassinated in 1963. He says the virus will no longer be a threat by the end of May, most things returning to a new normal by June, because just as fast as the virus appeared, also just as fast disappear. It was created by as a bioweapon to harm humanity, but it will but the negative entities who created the virus will fail in their effort. Do not listen to this negativity. Instead, rise up and love each other, and know that we have a very beautiful and bright future ahead of us. The problem here in the United States, and I think elsewhere in the world, is the mainstream media, which itself is full of fear. And so if you listen to a lot of mainstream media, you're going to be full of fear. So turn off your television. Turn off your radio, but don't turn off my show, but listen to the mainstream media, because much of it is fear-based. We are all powerful spiritual beings who are creating a beautiful new and wonderful world. Nothing can stop this ascension. We are at the finish line, according to President Kennedy, for a beautiful new earth. We're all here for a reason, and I know you will be successful. I am John F. Kennedy. Jackie and the First Lady and I are always with you. We love you all. With that, what I'd like to do is to bring on Marie Thornton Thompson. She's from Santa Barbara, California, just for a few minutes. She's got some wonderful messages from the Pleiades, and then we'll be bringing on Robert Openshaw here in just a few minutes. Marie, are you there?
I'm here, Ted. Hi. Thank you so much for having me on today.
Okay, my pleasure. My pleasure. Well, just briefly, tell us what the Pleiadians are saying about this current situation.
Well, it's very much what your friend John F. Kennedy has said as well. They, from their perspective, from their very high perspective, they feel that it's very much a hoax, that it's a false flag, that it's a push to instill more fear. That they say that viruses in and of themselves are very weak in general, and that our bodies should have no problem fighting this off unless you have underlying conditions. They say that the numbers that are being reported, no matter where we look, they're all off. They're not correct, and that they're being they're just basically piggybacking the label of death with the COVID, where they might otherwise be labeled something else, like heart failure or pneumonia or diabetes or what have you. So,
Right.
unfortunately, it's not a popular response or answer, and there's a lot
Right.
of blowback that comes with this. But I think that you and I are on the same page, and you and I and the Galactics, and there are several others that are on the same page that don't have the fear about this virus, that don't feel that it is actually legitimate. And but if, like you said, if you're watching the mainstream media, not agree with this. Anything you pick that works for you and run with it, and anything else throw away, out of perspective at this time, that I believe.
We only got 50% of what your last sentence was.
Oh, I was just saying that is the galactic perspective this time, and that is what I believe, and you can take what resonates with you and throw away anything that doesn't. And I hope that we're right, on this one. And I hope that all the mainstream media is wrong about all of this. So
Yeah, and
that's sort of
I think they will be wrong on it, actually. So but I know that we're going to be successful in this, and things are going to get better. There's an interesting thing I wanted to share with everybody. There was a quote from John Roberts on Fox News a couple days ago. What he talked about is that the mic was still on, and yet he was talking kind of off the record. And he said that the entire virus was a hoax, and they said that there's they wanted to make people believe that there was anywhere between 221,000 to 440,000 people who were infected, but actually there were only 7,000 cases, and so they were exaggerating the numbers. But it's an interesting thing. If you Google it, on it's called The American Joe Show, called Fox News, John Roberts on the hot mic, and then give what he was really, really saying, which I thought was fascinating. But with that, Marie, thank you so much for giving us all your words of wisdom. It's great. And then I'd like to try to get Robin Openshaw on. I hope she's on okay. We'll try her now and see if she's on. Eric, just let me know when she's on. That would be great. In the meantime, I can... Robin Openshaw is a wonderful lady. She has her own website. I think she's the author of something like 15 different books, including the bestsellers, Green Smoothies, and 12 Steps to Whole Foods. Her latest book is Amazon number one bestseller, is Vibe, Unlocking the Energetic Frequencies of Health, Love, and Success. The former psychotherapist, university professor, lectured in 450 cities in the 6 years after launching her popular site, Green Smoothie Girl. She's a wonderful lady, and I'm so glad she's coming on. Eric, just let me know when you're able to get her on. She said that she hasn't gotten the Zoom link yet, but anyway, with me in the studio here is Carolyn White, and she's co-hosting this show with me today. I hope we can get Robin on. Carolyn, what's your take on the virus?
Well, like we've been talking, the virus really is a psyop. I mean, that's the thing, is that when they first came out, and I will say, as I've always been very sensitive to goings on in the world, some people would call it being intuitive, call it psychic, but there's something that when people lie, when people are hiding the truth, ever since I've been a little kid, I've had a truth jar that really alerts me to lie when people are. And from the get-go on this, there just something was not smelling right. And so I started researching on my own of different what's going on, listening to different experts in the health field. And one of the things that looking that was coming out of all of it is that, because I've studied a lot of psychology, that this really is a psyop. We've been experiencing through the mainstream media trauma-based mind control. And the thing is that the social controllers operate. What we've been experiencing with these euphemisms and double speak, like social distancing. I mean, being social is being together, but distancing is breaking apart. I mean, how much more double speak than Orwell's 1984 can you get? But really, these operations are fueled by fear. So if you think about it, when humans become fearful, they renounce reason and are fairly easy to trick false promises like hope and change, flatten the curve. And if you think about it, over history, tyrants everywhere know that if they can manipulate emotion, they can achieve their purposes. And I think that's probably one of the things that's going on right now. I haven't seen such. And if you think about it, there is a that you're either for this or against this. There's no sort of middle ground. And a lot of people have really lost capacity for critical thinking. So I think that's one of the main things that we've had issues with, is that, as Kate said, there's been a dumbing down of the population. People no longer have discernment. They can't think for themselves. There's more disconnection with what's going on. And we really, I think that there's a call right now that we all have to claim our sovereign power. And we need to go inside and find the truth. We need to be seeking and taking action and questioning. Just because somebody says, oh, well, this is what's happening, they, well, give me the information. Let me know the facts. One of the things that coming home close to our own family is that we have a nephew in Alberta, and his partner, it's first baby, there's she had started into labor prematurely. He cannot go in and comfort her in this very traumatic time for her. Apparently at the hospital, they are giving them a COVID-19 test to see if he's infected. Well, he tested negative, but the hospital said, well, you know, we have a lot of false negatives. We'll have to wait a couple of days. So, Robin, I hear you're on, and please address this whole testing thing. How can we make any kind of decisions when there is no firm test? There's no gold standard what's going on right now. And all these numbers are based on really, from what I've seen, a fallacy.
Thank you, Carolyn, so much for your beautiful comment, wonderful comments. Were we able to get Robin on? Robin, are you there?
I'm here. Do I sound okay? Because Carolyn was cutting in and out for me.
Yeah, we're fine. I hope you can hear me okay.
Yeah, you sound great. Yep.
Okay, good. Well, you do fantastic work, and I'm so honored and pleased you could come on today, Robin. What do you think about what's going on with this virus thing? I'm sure you have a lot to say.
Well, I started posting about the fraud behind what's going on February 27th, so a full 2 months ago now. And I've been getting louder and louder about it, and I've lost a lot of followers on my public figure page, but I've also started a private group where we can speak openly, and really the agenda of this private group on Facebook is things that are being brought down on front-facing pages have not been, we haven't been censored at all inside this private group. I don't think that Facebook pays a whole lot of attention to what's going on in private groups where people have to, you know, answer two questions to get in, and, you know, it's not front facing. But, you know, basically because I've been a health and wellness professional for many years now, 16-time author, I know enough about pandemic history. I know enough about viruses. I know enough about the human immune system that from the very beginning, 2 months ago, I was saying, wait a minute, none of this makes sense. What are we doing? And then I started to really look at where is this coming from? Because everybody right. is overreacting to it. And unfortunately, the conclusions that I came to is that there is a globalist agenda. If you would have told me 3 months ago that I would come to a conclusion like this, I would have been like, what? What are you talking about?
Right, yeah. But yeah. Yeah, well, the whole term conspiracy theory, people should know where that came from. That came from our CIA that invented the term in 1967 to throw people off track from finding out who really did murder President Kennedy. That's where it came from. And so anytime you want to make a derogatory comment about somebody who's trying to find the truth, you call them conspiracy theorists, which is a handy way for people who don't study the issue, who don't want to investigate, who don't want to take the time to find the truth, to brush off any comment like that. But I agree with you. I mean, what else reason would you have for many states across the United States and the world where the businesses are just all closed down? But like here in Washington State, all the small businesses are closed down, and I'm seeing boarded up buildings now in the town where I live. But yet all the big box stores are open. There's a political agenda here to wipe out small business and wipe out the middle class through this so-called virus thing.
Yeah, I agree. I think the term conspiracy theory existed before then, but it was weaponized during the investigation of the Kennedy assassinations. And now there's a lot of gaslighting terms that are being used against any of those of us who are questioning the narrative of the media and the government. So that we just to keep us quiet. I mean, I got to tell you, as I study this plandemic and how it was teed up, the CDC was hiring for quarantine specialists in all the states last fall. You know, Bill Gates and Johns Hopkins University and the World Economic Forum were practicing for this months ago. Bill Gates was stepping down from both the corporations he serves on the board and selling off billions of dollars worth of stock in February before this happened. I mean, when you study it all, I have to say, as horrible as it is, and the way I see this is that all these players are guilty of crimes against humanity, I also have to say this is one of the most brilliant things I could have ever conceived of. No Hollywood movie could stun me like what has happened in reality.
And when you mention health, people back off. It's like, even though there are probably hundreds and hundreds of civil rights violations occurring right now throughout the United States, and we still have the U.S. Constitution, where are the lawyers? Where's the ACLU? They haven't lifted a finger. I don't know of hardly any lawsuits against the government for violating the Constitution over and over and over again. There's actually Jay Inslee's website, Department of Health here in Washington State. He's actually had the audacity to put up a web page, a post saying, if you hear anybody talking against my policies or alleging that the 5G is a bioweapon, then report them to my office and we'll then investigate them. Huh? That's not a democratic kind of answer. That's a police state.
Yeah. And this is Inslee who they shut down the federal makeshift hospitals without seeing a single patient. Packed them up and sent them out, 2 weeks ago? I mean, how is it that when we shut down all these makeshift hospitals that never saw a single patient, we shut them all down nationwide? I know there was one in Nashville. I don't know where they all were. But, you know, supposedly in Seattle where all these hotspots were. And what's astonishing to me is I've had people on my Facebook pages, you know, from Seattle saying, you know, all the stuff.
It was empty. It was empty.
Yeah, but the people in Seattle have been ferociously pro-economic shutdown, so many of them. And this is a more, you know, well-known to be left-leaning part of the country. Washington State is. And so maybe Inslee's getting away with it. But you and I were talking earlier today about how strangely both Inslee and the governor of North Dakota are using the same propaganda language to justify extending lockdowns for 3 weeks. I told you that one of my moderators on my private page, which if anybody wants to join it, is Supporting You in 2020 Crisis. So yeah. Supporting You in 2020 Crisis, you can go in there and no one is allowed to be unkind in there. So you can explore, you can share media links, you can ask questions. It is just growing explosively every day.
Well, we've got Microsoft here, and this is where Bill Gates lives.
That's one of the things that I wrote a post after I was talking to you today. I was talking to you while I was out for a run. And came back and wrote a post about what do North Dakota's governor and Washington State's Governor Inslee have in common. Both of them have major business dealings with Bill Gates. Both of them have shut down their economies using the justification data, not dates. Data, not dates. But then they're not talking about any data. I mean, I did the math for both of them. And in North Carolina, they have 0.001% death rate, and in Seattle or in Washington it's 0.009%, which statistically is insignificant. Both of them are a tiny fraction, no worse than the flu in any given year, but both of them have conflicts of interest. Both of them are acting unconstitutionally. You don't have to follow a law that's not passed by the legislature. And there's the numbers don't justify it. There's 15 deaths in North Dakota, but they just extended their lockdown by 3 weeks.
Yeah, right. There was one death maybe a month ago in Thurston County, a county of 300,000 people. But the whole The whole county is blocked down, walked down, and you can drive through Olympia right now and see actual businesses, small businesses boarded up, hairdressers, tire shops, all kinds of places gone, and they're not going to come back either. Oh, sure, let's give them a couple $1,000 as a loan. The state government might say, well, it's not going to bring back family business that's been there for many, many years. And we also don't have 5G here as well, so maybe that's another reason why it's not really high.
Well, I think 5G
is going to be everywhere, incidentally. With 50,000 satellites going up, it's going
to
be everywhere.
Hey, nice to talk to you.
Hey, Kate.
Hi, it's going to be everywhere.
I was wondering if you were there.
No, I was listening, but it's going to be everywhere, and you will not be able to get away from it. It's going to be increasing by 500% over the next 5 years.
Not if we can help it. We can change the future.
We have to stop it. We have to stop it because it's once it's up and running, it's going to be very difficult.
I believe that you do have it. I believe you do have it in Washington State. I had to work a little bit because the 5G tracker app has about 10%. It shows about 10% of the towers that are actually up. But I've identified it right here in my neighborhood of Jeremy Ranch in Park City. I've had 10 birds commit suicide on my office window in the last last week, right. 10 birds have died going full velocity at my window. Never once has that happened, not just in this house I live in and own, right, but in any house I've ever had, 10 birds have flown in my window and died. I have 6 times the amount of iron in my blood, and that's never happened before. I've always been low iron. I eat a plant-based diet, have for 25 years, and suddenly I have 6 times more iron in my blood. And when I interviewed Dr. Judy Mikovits, who is a top U.S. virologist, and my...
Great lady.
Yeah, my interview with her was just like, she was just on fire. And she said, she goes, do you know what 5G at 60 gigahertz does to your blood? It separates iron from hemoglobin. And I was like, oh my gosh, my functional medicine practitioner. And I spent 15 minutes talking about how on earth this could have happened. How did I go from a whole lifetime of low iron in my blood where I'd get rejected by the Red Cross when I tried to donate blood, probably half the time, my entire life, I'm 53. And then all of a sudden I now have hemochromatosis level of iron in the blood. But anyway, we do have it here in Utah. And even though in New York City, they have it in here, I assume that the reason I'm assuming, because there was a van, we stopped and talked to a van that was installing 5G receivers in our neighborhood. I assume that they must have installed some receivers since I got all these birds dying in the last week. But I, the difference is probably, is my guess, my theory is that in New York City, they have 1,500 of them. Who knows? Maybe Elon Musk has the ones up in space installed there, the satellites up there in space beaming down more radiation. I would assume it's probably just how much of it they have, because I have one tower that's near me and it's probably a mile away. And maybe there just aren't as many receivers and there aren't as many towers. I don't know what you know about that, Kate.
Well, they don't. The receivers are 60 to 100 gigahertz, but they can then go right up to 666 terahertz. So the plan was that this would be switched up, and also it runs on 3,000 different frequencies, and that's wide open to a lot of cowboys out there that can come on there. A lot of real other dark forces can come on there and use it. So you might not. And the other thing is with 5G, it's columnized, so somebody could be, say, standing at one end of a football pitch on a mobile phone, and they could get hit. And you being the other end of the football pitch, you would think, like with 4G, that that velocity would be much less. But actually, with 5G, it's exactly the same, and it's pulsing 3,000 frequencies. So they can keep switching up or down, because remember, it is a military weapon.
And it's been used. Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, Kate. Yeah, and what if they don't like you? What if you're an activist
you can, once that grid is up, and this is the whole reason for the 6 foot separation, so that you have facial recognition. And also there's school of thought that the chip will be in that vaccine. And also the more heavy metals you have, the more aluminium that's in the vaccine, you'll actually act like an antenna. So if that beam is locked onto you, it will kill you. It will literally stop the oxygen molecule from binding to the protein portion of your hemoglobin on your erythrocyte. So the part of your red blood cells where the oxygen binds to, it will stop that happening. It makes the electrons on the oxygen molecule, they start to oscillate, to vibrate, and they just can't bind. So it is a weapon, and it can be used as a weapon for that reason. I just wanted to put something in here as well that you might know or you might not know, but we have been bombarded for decades with aluminium and with mercury in vaccines. Right. Also, we've been sprayed from above, and that has actually been confirmed with samples from the air, samples from water. So that all of those heavy metals are in the body. They sit in the soft tissues. They sit in the gut. They sit in the organs. Right. But we have the blood-brain barrier to stop that going to the brain. But what actually opens the blood-brain barrier is 2.4 gigahertz, and that's your Wi-Fi. So one could say, oh, that might have just been by chance, but I completely disagree. To have it so exact, I believe that that was also pre-planned. So all once right. all of that heavy metal is in your brain, in your body, you're sitting like an antenna.
My goodness. Kate, Robin, and Carolyn, I want to ask you a serious question. It may sound like a joke, but it's not. I saw a YouTube video a couple days ago. It's called Digital Holographic Fakes in Media, April 11th, 14th. Tom Hanks, Bill Gates comparison, real versus fake. Whatever happened to Bill Gates and Tom Hanks? You can Google it and find it on YouTube if they already haven't taken it down. But Tom Hanks appeared on Saturday Night Live last Saturday night. Bill Gates appeared in a recent interview by a cabal newscaster talking about how vaccines are the greatest thing since sliced bread. And but both of them, they went under expert analysis. Both of their interviews were all digitalized. It wasn't real people. And we were wondering where they've gone. I'll start with you, Kate, go on to Robin, and then Carolyn. Where do you think they're arrested, in prison, or are they even alive anymore?
Well, I could only sort of, based on my years and years and years of reading, if we look at the way things are done, if we look at, like, for instance, Osama bin Laden, we were told that he'd been captured and now he was going to be killed and then he was going to be shoved over the side of a ship. And really, one of the best things would have been to show him to everybody. And he actually died many, many years before that. But talking about where would they have gone if indeed they... I don't believe anything I see on the Idiot's Lantern, the TV, or in the ragbag newspapers, nothing. I don't believe, unless it's right in front of me and I can touch it, I don't believe it with all my faith. But I do know that they're, based on all the 12 years I've been studying it, if he's gone somewhere, has he gone to an underground bunker? Do I believe he's been arrested? No, not at all. Do I believe any of them are being arrested for what they do? Not at all. We have Tony Blair in this country who's responsible for the murder in illegal wars of over 2 million non-combatants in Iraq and Afghanistan, but he's still alive and well and kicking around and wanting to do the whole COVID testing on the whole population. So we haven't heard actually anything about that really much in the UK, even in the alternative about Bill Gates isn't around. We've actually had him on the BBC chatting about how he's going to save us all. So I haven't really heard that story.
Okay. Well, if people are wondering whether he's even around, Robin, love your comment on that.
Well, I you know, would be speculative at best to try to guess where Tom Hanks and Bill Gates are. But I should say, Bill Gates is on a media tour. I mean, Bill Gates is everywhere. He's on the Ellen DeGeneres show. He's on ABC. He's on the Washington Post saying expect an 18-month shutdown. He's out there promoting an 18-month economic shutdown. And the upside is, if we're looking for a positive here, is that, for the first time in history, I mean, the cabal and these global elite powers who are very actively and very quickly right now shutting down our freedoms and shutting down our lives and destroying our economy and destroying the American dollar, with the participation, with the complicity of many, many mayors, health departments, governors all over the United States. I think Donald Trump is just a deer in headlights, is all I can figure out from him. I don't think he's, actively complicit in it. But right now we can see who is in the cabal. I mean, the enthusiasm of the vaccine program, the mandatory vaccine program, you can bet that these people who are out there going on literally media tours promoting that. I mean, why was last Monday the Federal Reserve saying we want an 18-month shutdown? What does the Federal Reserve have to do with health? And why Nothing. Would they want an 18-month shutdown of our economy? So
I find that really interesting, actually, what Robin's just said about, you know, that all of the sheriffs, et cetera, are complicit in this lockdown. So what we have to do, and taking this even from the UK, is there's that very, very old saying that it's not the evil people which will bring about a fall. It is the rest of us that allow it. So if you look at actually how many people are in the United States of America and how many people in the UK, and very few are controlling very many. And so if we all were to rise and walk in authority, then this whole plan would fail.
Well, and it's the only chance we have, is that if we link arms and we stop being afraid and we recognize what this is and we start, you know, gathering, which we've been banned from doing. And so I'm trying to be part of making that happen in Utah. Utah is a very compliant population, very conservative. But you know, after every huge totalitarian takeover, people, you know, for instance, in Nazi Germany, the people who really executed on the orders of the new totalitarian regime, they always say en masse later when they're, you know, asked about it, they always say, I was just following orders. And that's what we have going on here. I mean, it's hard to believe that Washington State and North Dakota are not very purposefully complicit, because how do you justify additional 3 weeks of shutdown when 15 people have died in the entire state of North Dakota? But David Icke has said, you know, and I've been saying this for 2 months, like, hey, if you think that your economy is going to open on May 1st or whatever your leaders tell you, and see, right now we're getting right up on the edge of that. David Icke has said, no, they're going to keep moving the goalposts. They'll extend all the way through the summer. So we have to realize, like, that is a technique, this whole staged comeback. What do we need staging for? Just let us get back to work before our children's future is lost. You know, this whole staging is designed just like the, you know, U.S. Congress has now proposed, you know, by Senator Tim Ryan, who's a Democrat in Ohio and has been a government employee his entire career, has now proposed, a bill, and it may have been passed. I know President Trump just signed something today, and I'll have to go find out what he signed, that everyone 16 years and older gets $2,000 a month automatically deposited in their bank account. First of all, I don't know why a minor living with their parents, 16 years old, needs $2,000 a month. But what these things are doing, and if we just go, we're just at home going, oh, I'm fine, because they're going to give me $2,000 a month, that'll get me through. And what Tim Ryan and this other Democrat who have proposed this bill are saying is that'll give us a chance to wait this out until to give the economy time to recover. How does the economy recover in any way when we destroy it for months and we infuse trillions of dollars of fake cash into the system? So what that does is two things. And this is why I completely agree with Kate. We've got to link arms, and we've got to go out there and be brave. And maybe people with guns go with 1,000 business owners to open up their business as a show of force, and as a show of force that we are going to run our businesses and we are going to take our constitutional rights back, and we aren't going to follow illegal executive orders. We don't have to follow any law that isn't passed by the legislature. But the two things that happen when you put $2,000 a month in people's bank account is, number one, you keep people quiet. You're keeping people quiet and docile and sitting at home waiting for rescue that isn't coming, while you simultaneously destroy the dollar and destroy our monetary system. And so people have got to be brave enough to speak up. I mean, I think Kate and I are we're about the same age and have children about the same age, because I haven't ever talked with her in person, but we have a mutual friend, and I believe that she has four adult children like I do. Maybe some of them are still teenagers. But, you know, I said this when I interviewed Rashid Buttar this week on my podcast. He and I feel very much the same way, which is, if my life has one purpose from here on out, it is to stand up for truth and freedom and to do whatever it takes, even if my life is not going to be a whole lot longer. I mean, Judy Mikovits went to prison or she went to jail, and she has risked her life, and some of her colleagues were killed for speaking up about all the cover-ups about creating viruses for profit and plunder, which is what she, over the course of decades, slowly realized. That's the thing, is a lot of these, I don't think that all of these mayors and governors are aware, like the top of the cabal is. David Icke says it's like a pyramid, and there's people at the top who they know the plot to take down all the people of the world and destroy a lot of the population of the world. They know that. But as it trickles down, they know less and less and less and less. When you get all the way down to the police state, all they know is, if I don't go use this club on these people at demonstrations, I'm going to lose my job. And hey, most of my neighbors don't have a job. That's my concern about the police state, is that, yeah, right now there's a lot of police who are saying, hey, I took an oath, I'm not going to do that. But my point is, my life right now, and till the end of my life, is about making sure that the world that I brought my children into, because I promise you, I would not have brought them into this world if I would have known that on the brink of their adulthood, right when they thought they were going to fly, they're going to spread their wings, they're going to fly, they're going to have all the opportunities that I did when I was their age. My four children are between 19 and 26. I'm done raising children. This is not, I don't have a purpose in terms of raising children. I'm here because my six younger brothers, who are raising small children, and my parents, who are 77, they deserve protection. And so it's people like me, and I, you know, Kate can speak for herself, but it's people like us who've spent decades developing our ability to articulate these kind of principles that have to go out there and lead and be brave and take some risks and speak up. And so that's the number one thing I want people to ask themselves is, you know, I hear so much talk on my private group about, oh, my friends get mad at me when I post on Facebook and I share these resources. Like I've shared Kate's videos. They're very well done. And so I've shared her content with people. And my friends are getting mad at me. I'll tell you, who cares? Who cares? I have people unsubscribing from my public figure page that I've spent, 10, 12 years developing. I don't care about that relative to standing up to this. The longer we go not standing up to it and sitting at home with our masks on, muzzled, and saying stupid things like stay home, stay alive, and alone together, and all the other propaganda, the more we adopt the propaganda and put it out there and further the agenda of the globalists, the less chance we have of overcoming this. So that's what I'm here for, is to speak up and say, hey, everybody, you're going to have to organize. Whatever leadership skills you have, whatever skills you have to bring to the table, now is the time, right now.
Right.
I completely agree with that. I've always, on all my videos, you might have heard me say, I would rather die than be on my knees to tyranny.
Yep.
I will not stand by and just let this happen at all, ever. And I've kind of been really, I've just got bigger and bigger talking about it. But my children are 21, 19, 19, and 17. And I, as well, I said, if I'd have known then what I know now, I wouldn't have had children, but I did. Therefore, I owe it to them.
Yep. Yep.
To give them the freedom that I had. And at the moment, we have utter tyranny. We have people who are foolish, they're blind, and they are begging for their servitude. And many people, if this continues, will die. And I don't, for one minute, I will not be one of them. And if I am going to be, then that's God's will. And I'll certainly die upright and not on my knees.
Kate and Robin, I want to bring in my friend Carolyn White here, co-host, and she's got some interesting things about doublespeak. Go ahead, Carolyn.
Well, this is the thing, Robin. I know that you mentioned about they're euphemisms, but they're really doublespeak. I mean, that's just right out of George Orwell's 1984. It's a social distancing. I mean, that's like it's an oxymoron, because being social means being together. And there's been people right now are being divided. I mean, this language is so divisive. So what we all have to do is look at this. It's not social distancing. It's physical tearing you apart. I mean, that's really it is. And I think that I agree with you, is that we have to get out there and stop these euphemisms, because they are part of the whole PSYOP. Another comment I wanted to ask both of you about, how much do you think that what's been done to people physically with the aluminum and the mercury that has been coming down the pike, and the glyphosate, the different chemicals that we have, GMOs. And now, like, I think it was Kate that said that 2.4 gigahertz actually activates, you could explain it a little bit, but how much does
it opens the blood-brain barrier.
Okay, the blood-brain barrier. How much do you think that that's responsible for dumbing down people? Because when I talk to people in a very logical, you know, presenting facts, presenting actual facts and showing them, it's just like the walls go up and the eyes glaze over and the mass hypnosis takes over and they don't listen. So how much do you think that this has been kind of an ongoing agenda over the years, is feeding us chemicals and feeding us the different, and the cell phones and the Wi-Fi, that I like your take on that.
Well, my answer would be that I believe that each one of them are a factor in the toxic body burden that each of us is carrying around. And, you know, each of us are sensitive to different things, and what it is that tips us over might be different. You know, we are definitely not built to have mercury and aluminum, or as Kate would say it so beautifully. Isn't it amazing how British people just sound smarter than we are? Aluminium.
Aluminium.
I'm sure we don't.
No, that's the thing. Like, that's, you know, it's just like, if you have a British accent, everything you say sounds smarter, even if we're saying the same thing. But, you know, like, we're not built to have our organs of elimination have to try to eliminate these incredibly toxic heavy metals. But there's also all kinds of other crazy stuff in the vaccines they want to inject us with. And so, you know, this, I'm not trying to be all doom and gloom, but we do have to become aware of these things. So eating organic, planting our own foods will help us absolutely minimize the glyphosate that's in our lives. We have to do that. We can't be eating foods that we know are sprayed with glyphosate. So I've been doing that for years, and I would assume that's why my immune system is strong through a lot of different things. I mean, hey, you know what? When I get my blood tested every year, I did a liver detox retreat in Switzerland, and I take about 100 people there every year for 8 years now. Unfortunately, now we've shut it down and they've closed their doors. They're out of business now because of this that's going on, which is really sad. My business is online and we're still in business, but we have our decisions that we didn't really have a choice in have shut down three other companies. But you know, we go there and we get tested, and I'm permanently positive for Epstein-Barr. I always have Epstein. I'm positive for Epstein-Barr, just in the same way that people get.
I think 90% of the population.
Right.
90% of the population are positive for Epstein-Barr.
Right. And I've never had Epstein-Barr. I've never been ill. And so the point is, if you have a functioning immune system, if you have a reasonably strong immune system, and hey, there's lots of people who are actually pretty sick and pretty toxic, who still their immune system, that's how miraculous the human body is, still their immune system, because we're coming out with, and this is to your very first question, but you know, like, we're seeing these serology tests coming out of Santa Clara, California. There's one coming out of Massachusetts. There's one coming out of New York. There's a couple of countries in Europe where we have data now where these researchers are saying, hey, this fatality rate is probably 0.1%, which makes it akin to the death rate from the flu every year, which I've only been saying for 2 months, because China said before we got started with all this, and you could find this in biomedical, you know, search engines, that they estimate that their death rate was somewhere between 0.04% and 0.12%. I mean, all the numbers are now lining up that there, and there's, you know, they do kind of vary pretty widely about how many people in Santa Clara versus how many people in Massachusetts, which was a smaller study. The Santa Clara, California one had 3,300 people in it. Massachusetts and New York had a smaller number, but we're going to see more and more studies like this coming out. They're showing that it kills 0.1%. Kills 0.1% of the people who get it, but there's a lot of us who've been exposed to it, her now in these serology tests showing up as positive. We actually supposedly have the COVID-19 virus. If you even believe that there's a COVID-19 virus, and Koch's postulates have never been applied to it. They have no incentive. They have no reason to prove it as a virus because it's a Trojan horse, right? It's a battering ram. They're using it to accomplish some objectives. The virus really is quite irrelevant in this whole thing, even though most Americans have bought into what the mainstream media has told them. But the bottom line is your glyphosate exposure and how much of it you have in your body, your exposure to chaotic frequencies. You got to turn your Wi-Fi off at night. You got to not have that receiver installed in your neighborhood if at all possible. You gotta bring down your, you gotta say no to the vaccine. And I'm with Kate. I will not live like a dog on my knees. I will say no to the vaccine. Nobody's over my dead body is anybody injecting a bunch of heavy metals and fetal abortion materials into my body and the DNA and RNA of animals. I mean, you can't detox that stuff. That stuff doesn't come out.
Right. We have to remember, as I've said before, Kate, Robert, and Carolyn, and all my listeners around the world, that we are all powerful spiritual beings meant to create a much better and happier planet. We're not meant to be enslaved in a police state where some governor locks us down for months on end and then has no definite time to reopen again until all of our businesses and all of our incomes are gone. This is not what America is about. I'm sorry. And I think people need to stand up to this tyranny.
Yeah, absolutely. We keep going back to the virus and whether it exists or not. And actually, if you look through a lot of studies and from, you know, the biology we didn't learn a lot of this in depth at nursing school. But the exosome and the virus, Dr. James Hildreth described them as being one and the same. And the COVID-19 under a microscope is identical to the exosome. It's identical, the same shape, the same diameter, the same ACE2 receptor. And when they actually made the test, they didn't visualize and isolate the virus when they took the fluid from outside of the alveoli, the little air sac. They actually took RNA. So your DNA is your genetic code, which is for cell activity. RNA converts that code into a protein for cell function. Well, the test actually took RNA, not the virus. So it's a completely fictitious, if you like, test. And then the actual exosomes, so viruses, are in the body, 300,000 of them. You can't catch a virus. They actually come out of the cell when we are toxic, be it, as Robin was saying, from glyphosates, from toxins in the water, in the air, electromagnetic toxicity. But also fear makes the exosomes come out of the cell. Cancer, injuries, illness. And then what they do is they have a little lock on them, and then the toxins are soaked up by that exosome. And then they carry them off to cells, which, interestingly, the immune cells have the key for the lock. So these exosomes you can't catch a virus. You can have it injected into you, but they are indeed part of our immune system to clean our bodies up when we are very, very toxic. So what they've done is taken something which is natural, it's normal in our bodies, and they're making it out to be the boogeyman. And I was reading a study that hadn't been peer-reviewed, it hasn't been scrutinized, but a science writer took up this study, and it was just a hypothesis, it was just somebody's opinion of what they thought would happen. So in other words, it's a comic. And then they did in every single newspaper, it hit every single newspaper all over the UK, America, and around the world. And then what the newspapers did was took this up as fact. And they were stating that this COVID-19 took up sanctuary. And the words that they used were the crafty words of the devil. They used words like, it will take up residence. It's hiding. It's taking a sanctuary. It's the last place that will hide in the testicles.
Yeah.
And they said it would be in the testicles. And then they said that it would be, and then this oncologist then said that it was her opinion that then this would be carried in the semen. And so what they were implying was that the virus would be staying longer in the testicles, and it was sexually transmissible. So that would then lead to softening everyone, drip feeding them, desensitizing them, that in the future we would believe it's sexually transmitted, therefore men need to be treated, when really this is about causing sterility across the population.
Right. It's all these different terms. The new normal. Mm-hmm. Carolyn's written these out. Shelter in place order. Social distancing. Psychops terms. Stay safe. George Orwell would stay home, save lives. That's a George 1984. George Orwell would be wonderful like that. Flattening the curve. There's a new one for you. Another psychological psyop. Number front lines alone together. That's an oxymoron. How can you be together with anybody if you're alone? That makes sense.
Don't forget essential and non-essential jobs.
I was just going to say that essential, non-essential workers. What the heck is that? Tell me, explain in plain English. We're all essential for the evolution of this planet. And where's your mask? Okay. Misinformation.
When nanoparticles go straight through a mask.
Yeah. Right. So if you're a married couple, you have to have a mask on and practice social distancing. Give me a break.
I saw somebody that was wearing a crochet mask at the store. It was beautiful, but fulfilled the requirement of covering one's face. It's getting to be rather ridiculous about all these different little rules that they're trying to foist onto different people.
I think the funniest thing ever is when you see people driving their cars on their own with a mask on. That really is crazy.
Right.
But it shows you the level of that this PSYOP has. People are not even thinking sensibly anymore. They're acting foolish. And so this is where it's starting to work, and people turning on one another. We have people in the UK snitching on each other.
Well, that's what you know, Governor. Actually, wow, really? Wow.
Yeah, there's an app in Riverside County, California. It's one place where, and Riverside County is fairly large. That's covers from about San Bernardino all the way to the Arizona border. And there's an app that they've downloaded to people's phones and said, you know, if you see somebody that is violating the social distancing or not wearing their face covers, you can report them here quickly.
Boy, Adolf Hitler would have loved that Nazi Germany.
But in the UK, these are not laws. These are rules. And so the people must accept the rules. So if you say, well, I don't accept that and I'm not paying your fine, then that's going to be very difficult in a court of law. And remember that they have to have our permission.
Right.
So do we give our permission?
No.
If we say nothing, then that stands as a rule. So I for one, I'm not complicit in any of it, none of it, nor will I be.
Well,
I don't know what social distancing is. I don't do it.
Yeah. Well, I want to let you know that all my angel friends on the other side, Nostradamus, President Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy, Nikola Tesla, all of them say that this is just a temporary thing we'll be dealing with. Their efforts to instill a police state here in the United States, Canada, the UK, and elsewhere will fail. And this is the last gasp of the cabal in trying to control and ruin our future, but it's not going to work because we're all going to stand up for them. That's what they tell me. And we've got about, 3 minutes left. And Robin, I want to give you some time now to wrap up your beautiful interview with brief comments at the end from Kate and Carolyn.
Yeah, I like that. I like that you consider this to be the last gasp of the cabal, because I think that most people think that this is where they completely take us down. And I just want to remind people that they take us down only if we let them. Just like Kate said, and I think that we have to not be passive. We need to stop saying things like, well, my friends get mad at me, so I'm just going to be over here and be quiet. There has to be more of us than more of them. And by them, I mean the sheeple or whatever you want to call them, who have turned off any critical thinking skills that they have. They aren't questioning the media. They aren't taking a look at the fact that there's, you know, like 0.001% of the population that have died of this, and yet we all lost our jobs over it. We have to encourage people out there to ask those critical thinking questions. If they're going to do their psyops on us, and they're going to, I think that list you read was right off my page because it's literally in order of what I wrote yesterday or the day before. I call it tools of our oppression. those are the tools of their of our oppression. They're getting, they got people hashtagging it from the very beginning. They had people out there that were little, they're little foot soldiers. Do you want to be a foot soldier of the, what David Icke calls the totalitarian tiptoe? They're not tiptoeing anymore. They have steel-toed boots on. And so what do we care about most? Do we care most about what our friends and family think of us? And if we're willing to stand up, what are we willing to do? And you know, you've just heard Kate and me both say we're willing to give our lives to it. So
yeah, well, Robin, thank you so much for coming on today. Kate, I'm sorry we're running out of time. It's so good to have you on, and Carolyn too. Thank you all much for coming
thank
on.
Thank you. Sorry.
Lucky word. Okay,
thank
everybody
you.
Have a beautiful weekend, and know that we will get through this period in time. Thanks everyone for listening. Have a beautiful weekend. Bye-bye.